Listen, thank you for doing that. God says He gave me a vision for you of one of these bags you get from the grocery store that's got frozen vegetables in it, and you just pull a little tab thing and it unzips the whole package just like that. God says that He's in the process of unzipping you. He's already put the things in you. They've been in you, but you haven't been able to tell because it's been in a sealed up thing for a day and a time. But God is unzipping you now, and there's stuff, and you thought you're going to have to work and work and work to get some of the things out of you. But God says He's doing the work. He's unzipping you, and things are going to be brought right out, and you're not even going to have to work for it. It's just going to show up on your playlist. Hallelujah. Thank you. So the power of the Holy Spirit's here. The power of the Holy Spirit is always in your mouth. That's the evidence of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that's where it would be. Speak it. So we're going to just take a minute, and while they're still worshiping, I want you to speak to your body now. Your heart, your leg, your bones, whatever, your ear, whatever, you tell it to be well now in the name of Jesus. Just go, heart, be well in the name of Jesus. I speak to you, heart. I prophesy to you. I prophesy to your ears, your hands, and your arthritis, whatever you need. Speak to it now. Let the kingdom of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, come out of your mouth and make your body will come into submission to the Word of God, evidencing the kingdom of God coming out of your mouth. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. Worship team, thank you. You're free to come on down. If you want to, if you want to fight me, stay up there, be all right. Go ahead and stay up there. They might stay up there. I'm not in control. Listen, first, God said about spend your mercy. He said that for us not to be deceived, that whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. If you sow mercy, meaning you give mercy to the person that cuts you off at the stoplight, you give mercy to the person that jammed their cart in front of yours at Costco, that cut you off at Wegmans, that got the last piece of juicy something at Wegmans, you give them mercy and you receive mercy. When the doctor makes you wait an extra 30 minutes for your appointment, you give him mercy. You give the office staff mercy. If you give them mercy, then when you miss your appointment, they'll say, it's okay, because you made a deposit in the mercy account in heaven. What a man sows or a woman sows, he or she will reap. You sow impatience, you will reap impatience. You sow mercy, you sow patience, you'll receive mercy, you'll receive patience. It's just the way it works. That's a pan-kingdom principle, meaning it extends across all of the kingdom of God. Whatever part of His kingdom, whatever part of the scriptures you're in, whatever's going on in your life, sowing and reaping will always determine the extent of and what you reap. I hope that makes sense. This is an irritating place because everything I was going to preach gets preached, prophesied, worshiped, sung before I ever get up. All right, second. God, you said this is Judge Yourself Month. Never heard of such a thing. But I believe you because that's what my message is about. So that's a little irritating. talk to the man. Well, I did. He was laughing. The angels were laughing. You know, the angels have a good time with me. I know they do. God, did you see what Cotton did? Look at him, God. We got him. So I have a message. It's a prophetic word. God gave it to me Wednesday. So I'm going to try. This is not a sermon. And I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about three people or families that came to see me all on Wednesday, morning, afternoon, and night. And I'm doing it within the week that they came to me. Usually you wait 20 years so that when you give an example, no one can figure out who it was. But I'm saying this, understanding any of them might get a copy of this message. So I'm going to be as judicious as I can, but God spoke to me Wednesday, and this is for you. God told me first, pay attention when I woke up Wednesday morning. God always speaks something to me. It's imprinted right on my brain as my eyes come open. Something's always there. And he said, pay attention. I'm going, that'll wake you up. All right, God. God's waking me up with knocks on the door because somebody was going, the UPS guy was coming at 7 a.m. And God would knock on my door to wake me up and say, get your pants on. The UPS guy is coming. Don't go to the door without your pants on, right? That's rule number 92 of successful living. And so God woke me up and said, pay attention. And then in the morning, two of Gloria's friends came, and we were discussing a friend of ours that had died last week, got sick and died 5 days later at Duke, and they buried her yesterday. And we were discussing her family and what was happening, and I just inquired when they came, how is the family and how are the children? And they have two children, and they have never really said no to anything their children did. So if the son would call from Myrtle Beach and he'd been thrown in jail again, Myrtle Beach is a famous place to get thrown in jail at, and he got thrown in jail again. And they get up in the middle of the night, go down there and bail him out. In the middle of the night, bring him back. I'm so sorry that happened to you. He said, there's mean police. And they bail him out. And they never put up a barrier. 60% of a father's job is to say no. I'm telling you, it's about the truth. It's the truth. You don't get strong by having no resistance. You get strong by having some resistance. Anybody ever play football besides me? A few of you? You got to have resistance. You got to have something pushing back, whether it's a blocking sled or some 290-pound no-neck guy that's no-neck guy. You got to have something pushing back. And daddy's supposed to push back. Son, don't do that. And not, oh, son, don't do that. No, son, don't do that. I don't talk to my children or my grandchildren in a sing-songy voice. I don't. I talk to them like they're human beings with a spirit, soul, and body who will go to heaven. And they deserve dignity, even the way you talk to them. But they didn't do it. And as a result, my friend was in her early 60s, and she had lung problems, and just before she went into the hospital, her husband has been diagnosed with cancer and stage 4. And then she's at Duke and dies from respiratory COPD, finally got her. Her children are at home, and the son has got his wife there and a baby and not working, and nobody's working. They were living on a disability check that she was getting for her COPD, but that check stops this month. I was just sitting there going, Lord Jesus. My friends were just going, and we've all talked to them. And then the afternoon, so that was in the morning. The afternoon, I get a Skype call from friends from another state. And that's like you're in my home. The Holy Spirit can't tell the difference between you being in my home or being on Skype. He works the same. There's no diminishing of his effectiveness, whether you're 1,000 miles away or in the same room. It's wonderful. It's spirit-filled, magical. I shouldn't say magical, but if it was 30 years ago, you would throw me out right now if I said that. But you know, it transcends who you are. It's the Holy Spirit. And their oldest daughter, the mother had, as a young teenager, gotten pregnant, had a child. This child grew up in complete rebellion. And, you know, the purple, pink hair and tattoos all the way over everything, and talking rough and gruff. But living at home because she couldn't afford to be on her own, and got pregnant and is going to have a baby. And they call me up to tell me. And they, of course, they're in shock. It's the second conversation. And by now, I'm paying attention. This is dead serious. And I'm not going to come out with you in a few minutes with some long list of how to raise perfect children. You're not going to get the point if that's what you're looking for. I'm giving you the prophetic word God gave me. That night, someone comes who had sought me out months ago and said to me, I'm sick and tired of dealing with the remainder, the vestige, the little sins and stuff that tries to worm down in my soul. I'm just sick and tired of this stuff, and I want it out. We started doing something called Theophostic Ministry, but it's just our way of helping you burrow right down past all the surface stuff and dig right down and to the place you don't want to talk about. Well, we've been doing that thing, and along the way, see, when you start burrowing down like that, demons pop up because they get upset. They've been hiding for 30 years or 20 years. They get upset because you disturb them. See, stir things up. If you want to keep everything quiet, the demons are happy. They won't manifest. They'll just let you go right along. In the middle of the night, they'll bother you, but they'll never show up when you're out in polite company. But those demons were showing up. We were casting a little demon out here, a little demon out there. You know, just casting demons out. That's not a big thing. But you got to see them. And to see them, sometimes you just have to be willing to stir up things. And so we had had some successful sessions, and he came back. And he said the most interesting thing happened. Remember, this is the same day. Third appearance in my home. He says, we had a big Thanksgiving dinner. And the middle of the dinner, my 3-year-old child went berserk and started running around the room saying, 3 years old, and this is after we've been doing deliverance and theophostic healing, inner healing with her daddy. She says, there's no place to hide. There's no place to hide. I can't hide. I can't hide. There's no place. Everybody can see me. Everybody can see me. She's running around the room. They have to tackle her and hold her down. What was that? That was a demon. She's 3 years old. Why was the demon manifesting? Because the daddy was being set free. You understand? That's the prophetic word. The best thing I can do for my family, my wife, my sons, my grandsons, my grandchildren, my granddaughters, I can get free of what's afflicting me. That's the prophetic word. If you got a child who's 40 years old and he or she's in rebellion, don't go hit them over the head. It's too late. Get to a place where someone will pull the roots out of you and deliver you from what needs to be delivered in you. And when you do that, the repercussions around you are beyond anything you can ever accomplish on your own. At 3 years old, she's running around the room. And that demon, because of what the daddy's doing, the demon in the daughter says, I can't hide. Oh my. Something happens. Years ago, my wife was doing one of her famous women's meetings. Some lady comes down from Cary, North Carolina, to Fuquay. I know where you don't know where those places are, but they're in North Carolina. She comes down for this meeting my wife's doing. She brings her daughter with her, who's dyslexic and troubled. And so the mother is downstairs with Gloria, getting set free. Absolutely being blasted with freedom. And who's keeping the nursery? You know what the leader does? He makes sure everybody else gets taken care of. So you take care of the nursery, you wash the dishes, you do whatever you got to do, but you make sure everybody else is free to go get something from God. Let them belly up to the bar ahead of you. And I'm up there taking care of the nursery. And the daughter, who's 9 years old, goes absolutely ballistic. I got other children up there, and all of a sudden this gal just goes nuts. And she's 9. And I had to sit there in the chair and wrap my legs around her and my arms around her to hold her down. I was stout then. And I could barely hold her. But after about 30 minutes, the demon came out. It was a demon of dyslexia. It was a backwards demon. And it came out. And all of a sudden, poof. So just like that, almost asleep and just as peaceful as could be. Guess what? Wake County, that's where that was, in North Carolina, it's a huge county. It's the capital of North Carolina. It's got all these people, about 50,000 students in the public school system. Guess who got the award that year for the most improved student in the entire Wake County? Who got the award? That little girl who no longer had the demon. Why was she set free? Because her mama was downstairs pressing into God saying, I want everything that's not of God out of me. When the mama did that, the daughter upstairs went nuts. That's the prophetic word for you. Best thing you can do. So we come back to the message already having been preached. Judge yourself month. Al does that every time. Judge yourself month. What does that mean? Listen, you worried about your child, worried about your business, worried about anything, whatever it is, your wife, your husband, your granddaughter, your grandson, whatever it is, you worried about those things, best thing you can do for them is press into God yourself. And what you do is you do what my friend did to me. You go to somebody and you grab them by the shirt collar. I'm going to get set free. And the first thing I said was, listen, I can refer you over here. I can refer you over there. We can send you to RTF. I'm sure they can help you. He goes, and he calls me back later and says, I called all those people. None of them could help me. None of them had time. It's you. All right, Gloria, we got to meet. And we got to do some theophostics because we don't know the rest of that stuff. Theophostic ministry is basically when you get in a room with somebody, you make it safe, and you say to them, I want you to ask Jesus what he wants to say to you. Say, Jesus, what do you want to say to him? And you won't believe this. Jesus will talk to you. And it's no psychology. There's no counselor. There's nothing fancy. It's not even a checklist. Not a little book you can buy? Well, there used to be some books. I don't even know if there are now because this stuff is so old. But he got set free. So what you do is you find somebody and say, I want to get set free. And it looks like to me you're going to do it. Well, I'm not going down to North Carolina to see Michael Glory Cotton. Please don't come to see us. I'm not going to RTF. You could go to RTF, Restore the Foundations. That's great ministry, and there's some others. No, you're going to do it. And you collar somebody, grab them by the lapel, and tell them, I want to be set free. You're going to do it. I'm going to be at your house Tuesday night. Never Monday night. Don't do stuff Monday night. You know, it's just barely survived. You're just barely getting over the week starting it. Wait till Tuesday night. Tuesday night's a polite time to ask for ministry. And you don't ask them to come see you. You go see them. You get in their home and sit down at a couch. Now you got, okay, what do we do now? You ask them, what do we do now? And whoever it is going to look like a deer in the headlights. But you give the Holy Spirit about 2 minutes because you're coming in and you're saying, I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for coping, which is a psychological tactic. Let me teach you how to put up with your whatever it is, your sin, your phobia. Let me help you put up with your phobia. I know you're terrified of spiders. But let me help you put up with it. Let me help you manage the anger management. Let me help you manage your anger. What are you doing? Don't want to manage the anger. That anger, the minute you turn, if you leave your anger in you, the minute you turn your back, that anger's going to rise right up like a mean big dog and grab you right in some place and rip you. You can't manage this stuff. You can't live with it. You have to get it out. You have to kill it. And Satan will give you an easy 95% victory. Do you know that? He'll give you 95%. He's happy to do that. Brother, you're praying. I appreciate you praying. You've been fasting. But listen, we're going to give you a 95% victory. There you go, man. You go, okay, amen. Praise God. You're going off. You don't know, though, that the 5% is like something that will quickly grow back to 100%. And you think you got victory over it, and 3 years later, all of a sudden what it was you'd had victory over, it walks in front of you again in sachets or the bottle is sitting in front of you, or whatever it is, and first thing you know, that 5% got back to 100%, and it'll grab you again while you're looking the other way. Can't let it stay. The best thing you can do to set people free around you, if you don't have any kids yet, do it now. Grab your husband, your wife, or your pastor. Tackle Al. When he's going out, tackle him. Tuesday night, your house. Al's going to kill me. Look at that.
I was in Los Angeles.
Tuesday night, your house. I'm sorry. You got to be willing to inconvenience people. Do you know that? You got to be willing to get in somebody's face and say, I think you're trustworthy. But Tuesday night, your house, because I want to be set free. Why? I want my son set free. I want my daughter set free. But for me to do that, I can't fix that. I would have already fixed them if I could have. Do you understand? You would have already fixed them. So what you got to do is celebrate the month. Judge yourself month. Al. Judge yourself. So what you do is you say, I'm tired of this. I'm just sick of it. Not going to put up with it. You grab somebody in this place. If you want to go get some fancy ministry and pay $1,500, it's worth it. I got people that you can get on the list and get with them a year and a half from now, and it's $1,500 for a single and $2,200 for a couple for the week. That gets you set free. Or you can buttonhole Al or somebody else. And Tuesday night, and that's the word. Does this make sense? And God said to me, to start the day off, pay attention, Michael. I want to give you a scripture here. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Is that wonderful? So if you don't discipline your children, you're saying, I don't love you. Undisciplined children are unloved children. That makes sense? Hope it does. I've seen that. I've been around long enough to see it from the beginning and see the result now. All right. So dig out your root. Set somebody near you free. All right. That's my message. So I thought I'd prophesy over a few people now. That's all right. Okay. Hey. What's your name? Hey, Ron. I'm Michael. How you doing? Can I give you a word? All right. Ron, God says that he has been, what I hear is a cuckoo clock, which is a marvelous little German thing, you know, the little bird comes out and cuckoos the time and goes back in. And that God's been doing something to signal to you that time is moving on. Whatever it is, you're already having this thought about time moving on. You can't stay where you are. Something's advancing. Nothing can stay the same. Time's moving on. God's the one doing this. And however it's coming to you, maybe it's calls or something happening, but you're getting cuckooed right now. I don't know if that's a verb, but I just made it one. You're being cuckooed now, and this is God. And this is not a panic, but God's got something for you to do. He's getting your attention, and there's something for you to do. I just actually see that God's given you a mind that can recognize plans or new ideas. You have a mind to latch on to new ideas and new ways to do things. And that God's going to begin to give you ideas, and he's pushing you to begin to find ways to put feet on it. I don't know if you're supposed to go to engineering school or what you're supposed to do, but he's got a plan for you to begin to create things and make things happen. It smells like business, something in the business world, and it smells like getting something done, okay? And it's like this little thing, time to get up and either go to school or get that degree or get that job, or something is itching you, and it's God. Not an emergency. Just God doing his cuckoo thing. He does it to me all the time. I'm glad you're added to the list now. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to you? And listen, I just see money somewhere that today's going to come, you're going to make money for somebody. And you're going to be very useful to helping people get done what they need to get done. It's like you're going to be able to see how to get the straight line that I couldn't see. I see a problem in where I want to go, but I don't necessarily see a line between them that lets me know exactly how to get there. But you got this ability to see a straight line through problem solving and get something done. So that's nice. All right. And the young lady right here? Yeah. What's that? An owl? No.
A shirt?
Yeah, what is that?
This is Stitch.
Stitch? Yes. Okay, I have no idea what that is, but I'm not afraid to be old. Okay, I'm just saying. Would you stand up? Can I give you a word? Could I ask how old you are? Are you married? Good. I'll make sure. Well, it changes what you say. First, there's a call on you about making friends and about influencing people. God's given you a capacity to hold a lot of friendships in your heart. I'll forget when I get a text and a call comes in. I go, it's a call. But God's given you an ability to hold friendship in your heart, hold a lot of friends in your heart. And He's going to begin, and so all of your life, He's going to open doors for you with people. And God says, don't ever forget the people you've met. And even when you're old, you're going to have influence with people you already know now. This ability to retain friendships for a lifetime is major. That's one. Two, God's also given you a complicated heart. You already know that. Meaning, you've got things, thoughts going on inside of you that are deep. I'm not deep. I'm pretty uncomplicated. It's right, yes or no, up or down. But no, you've got a lot more going on inside of you. There's a complicated side of you. And so you feel in some way that you're not completely understood because you've never been able to fully explain to anybody who you are or what's going on inside. But that's okay. That just means God made you a little complicated. So there's an artistic side of you that God's going to draw out that helps explain who you are. I have a friend who's a great artist and writer. And if she didn't have those two vehicles, she would be a miserable person, and her husband would be even worse. But with all those things, it takes all of that to explain who she is. And she's constantly evolving. That's a part of how God made you, and it's a good thing. So you're gonna have different avenues of expression. I don't know if it's going to be writing or music or painting, I don't know, but God's going to use you to reveal beauty to people through unusual and delightful ways. Okay? Now, third, are you not dating anybody? No? Okay. Good. So I didn't see anybody get nervous in here right then, so that's good. God says, resolve yourself to wait because He's got the right guy for you. But resolve yourself to wait and to be patient. Patience will be a virtue. It's a strategic virtue for you right now. And I'm just telling you this so you won't choose the next lunkhead that comes along. Like me, you need to wait because God's got the right guy. Does that make sense? And if you haven't done it, this is not a prophetic word. Make a list of everything you want. Whatever God said to you, you're supposed to look for in a man. Make a list. And then you make your list, check it twice. It's Christmas. Making my list, checking it twice. You make your list, and then when the right guy comes along, you'll know because you'll check off everything on that list just like this. And it'll surprise you when you check off the last item and go, oh my God, that's what I've been waiting for. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you. Oh, just a little bit more. Would you stand up one more time?
He just wants to look at the stitch.
God says you need to raise your eyes, raise your sight. You're aiming too low, not in terms of men, but in terms of you, what you will do, what you will accomplish, and the doors that will be open for you. Raise your sight. You're aiming too low. Okay, now this is a simple word for me to say, but I'm talking about a fight with God here. You don't get this unless you go and fight with Him until He changes how you think about yourself and how you think He thinks about you. This takes a battle with your soul. You got something in your soul that wants to make you cast your eyes down. But God says, no, you're not looking high enough. Okay? So it's not about getting stronger. It's about having a fight with Him until He blesses you. Who was the guy that wouldn't cross the creek until God blessed him? Jacob. Go read that. Genesis 32. Go read Genesis 32. Because you need to fight Jacob's fight. Say, God, I'm not going out of this place until you bless me. That was ridiculous, of course. But anyway, go read Genesis 32. You'll get what I'm saying. What do y'all think? Is that okay? All right, so who is the drummer? Where's the drummer? Would you stand up? What's your name? Cameron? Nice name, Cameron. That's a good Scottish name. Cameron. Well, down in North Carolina, there was Camerons all over the place. In fact, that's a Cameron, North Carolina. So Cameron first. I see that you had praying generations ahead of you, before you, and your grandparents. There was a prayer. I don't know who, but there was somebody that prayed a spot, wore out a spot right next to the throne of God praying. So you're carrying not just what you've done yourself, but you're carrying also a blessing from a prior generation. There's more to you than you. And there's more to you than what's happening now. There's you that got started two generations ago that was released in prayer and prayed over you, and I don't know over who else, but you carry more than just you. And you're going to walk into unusual times when you don't deserve a blessing. You don't deserve an open door, whatever it is, but the door is going to open anyway because the prayers that got released over you. And here's what God says. That makes you entitled. And God says, use it. Use it. Take the favor when it comes. Take the favor when it comes. And God says, respond quickly. And I see, I had an incident the other day. God prophesied to me. That was a quarter lying in the middle of a room with a bunch of prophets in the room. Honest to goodness, this happened. My prophets. And that was a quarter. Somebody says, look, there's a quarter there. It's a sign. I said, no, it's not. And I went over and picked up the quarter and put it in my pocket. And you're going to run into this over and over and over again. I don't know whether it's job offers or come out here and visit me in California or something, but you're going to run into things just like that. And everybody else is going to say, oh, what is that? And what you're supposed to do is go over and pick up the quarter and put it in your pocket and do it quickly. Because God, you are to be an advantaged man because of those prayers, and you're going to find quarters or opportunities just sitting there and other people looking at it. And God says, pick it up, because don't assume it's for somebody else. It's for you. Hallelujah. It's for you, Cameron. Are you married? No. I want to tell you something. I'm going to just prophesy right to you. You're going to be a good father. God's got a call on you to raise up strong children, warriors. I won't go so far as to say one of them will end up in the military, but they're going to be like, you're going to be having to ride herd on soldiers. They're going to be hard to handle, but laugh when they say no to you, the little thing saying no to you. Because that's going to be just God's, I'm giving you that soldier. You got to raise that warrior up. So anyway, God's going to bless you as a dad. Just want to tell you. Someday, you're going to be an old man, and some guy half your age is going to be saying, that's my pop. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate it. The guy in the, is that like a pea coat or that lady, would you stand up? What's your name? Melissa? You have to talk up a little bit. I got 73-year-old ears. They work 73%. Well, Melissa, I see you laying hands on people and praying blessing and healing on them. There's a call on you to release healing through your hands. We just have your hand and I just reach right. You're supposed to lay hands on the sick. Pray for them. And God's going to give you an ability to get in difficult places where other people are being kept out. I don't know why. But you're going to be able to fly under the radar. That's going to mean something. You're going to be able to fly under the radar and bring healing where nobody is allowed to do that. And I also see you laying hands on children's hearts for the same thing, to bring healing. And I don't know whether it's physical or emotional. I'm not sure God cares. It's all the same to Him. But I see you laying hands on children for the healing of their hearts. And I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised if you don't end up in the ward for very sick babies. What do they call that? The neonatology? Neonatal thing? I just wonder if you won't end up there. That's only happened to me once. I was allowed in one time. But I don't know. You're going to fly under somebody's radar and you're going to just like, I'm here, but you don't know I'm here. I'm stealth. Something. Anyway. So, you really ought to start praying that God would use you to raise the dead. That's hard to do because most of the times now they keep you out. They run everybody out. But I don't know. You're going to be able to get in a place. And you need to pray, what would it feel like? What would it look like? What would it feel like for me to be there and there's a dead baby or something? What would it look like? What would it feel like? And what would it feel like to pray for that dead child and have it sit right up, have that child sit up? You pray over that and imagine it enough so that your soul gets wrapped around it. Wouldn't that be something? Children. Do you have children? Adult? One adult son. How old is he? 29. I see God like wiping a windshield, washing a windshield, making it clean, restoring vision that he would see clearly. And just like the guy at the street corner washing your windshield, but except he really washes it. He doesn't just smear dirt. He washes it. That's funny. He's going to see clearly. And you got to be ready because he's going to need a reorientation when he sees clearly. You need to be ready. Maybe even writing down, this sounds odd, but maybe even writing down a vision statement for him, which I know you carry in your heart. Every mother does. Maybe write down a vision statement. Say, here, I already prayed over this. I already knew it was going to happen here. This is what God says. I don't know why in writing or even a letter to him. And then hold it until the right minute. Does that make sense? Has a destiny on him. There's a call on him. Satan's tried to kill him. And there's a call on him. Destiny will have its way. The purposes, Job said, in his confession, after he got straight with God, the purposes and plans of God cannot be thwarted. That's what he said. Amen. How we doing? We're just barely starting. Okay. So you guys right here? You're the two. You guys married or? Okay. Would y'all stand up? You could have said, I don't know who he is. She already used to it, yeah. What are your names?
Sherry and Dan.
Sherry and Dan, sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Sorry. It's how I remember names, Sherry and Dan. I'll always remember that now. Sherry and Dan, sitting in a tree. Listen, first, God says, thus says the Lord, my son, my daughter, I have called you to be in me. I've called you to express me. I've called you to be a partial reflection of my image in this day, says God. I have put you through darkness. I have put you through peril, that you would be a solid rock to those around you. And this is a day, says God, when I call you to be a solid rock for many people. The rock that does not move. The rock that continually gives forth refreshing and water to those around you. I've called you to be givers and refreshers in this day. I've called you, my daughter, to be my fountain of mercy, to pour it out to many around you. I've called you to be a healer in this day, and I've also called you to be my prophetic voice, for I am speaking to you, and I will open your ears, I will open your mouth, and I will give you a word that is timely in season, that you would be able to say to people, this is the season of your life. This is what God is doing. This is how he will lead you in the coming days. This is the call of Issachar. That's the point. It's one of the sons of Jacob, 12 sons. And he was the one that knew the times and the seasons, what Israel should do. And God says, my daughter, in this day, I've called you to be that Issachar for many people. And God says, my son, I've called you to be the immovable rock in this day, the rock that does not change, that does not change opinion from day to day. And I've called you to be the one that untangles the mess, that untangles the knotted up mess that other people cannot solve. And I will bring people to you in this day who will bring insoluble problems over which they have grown hopeless. And with a quiet word of wisdom, you will begin to untangle their mess. And for this purpose, I will open your home. I will make it a home of welcome and a home of healing. And I say to you, says God, invite people in. Send out the invitations. And he means that literally. Send out the invitations and bring people into your home. And I will make it a place, a wellspring of healing. And the Lord says, I call your home wellspring, says the Lord. Invite people, have a party. Get people around your table, and you're gonna see a different side of God. When she brings a man around her table, you're gonna see what God does with you. And you're gonna begin to deliver wisdom and healing, but mostly security. Because when I look at you, that's what I feel. Has anybody ever told you that? When you walk in the room, they feel safe? Anybody ever told you that? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's who you are. And all you got to do, you make the opportunity, it'll just happen. Y'all guys do a home group, you invite people in, do you do anything like that now? Okay. Might be something to start. But listen, have a party. Get some recipes. Do you cook? Do you do any recipes or anything? When you have time? Well, then get some recipes. Then go to Wegmans. Get some stuff from Wegmans. But sorry, I'm giving my ad for Wegmans. Oh, do you really? Sorry. Well, you get a discount, you can get a discount. No. Well, have a party. Get some stuff and bring it in and or cook it if you can, or cook it. Get the stuff where you cook it, put it in the freezer, and then you take it all out and heat it up, and it looks magic. You can do that. You can do that. I thought you could. And do you prophesy any now? Okay. All right. That's cool. It's good to meet you both. Have I ever met you before? No? Okay, good. Good. I always get worried that I prophesy to somebody that I am supposed to know. And I have a prophet's memory, which is short term. Well, it allows me to prophesy later again without being influenced by what I said before. People think I remember everything, but I'm doing 10,000 prophecies a year. I don't remember. Okay, this couple right here. You guys married? Okay, you got it. No, you don't have a name tag. That's no, that look. It looked like a name tag there, but that's all right. You guys, would y'all stand up? Over both of you, I see God taking a wonderful plow, big single-edged plow, big thing, and plowing right through your lives and turning over crusted, packed-down dirt that won't grow just a little, but He's turning it over. So you're in the middle of God turning things upside down. And it's His time, and it's His plan for this. And what you have to do, well, I'm not going to give you advice. I'm going to prophesy to you. All right. What you have to do, that's pitiful, isn't it? That's pitiful ministry. This is what God says. My son and my daughter, I've called you to be pillars in the kingdom, to... I always see it like a door to a house. And in fact, why don't y'all come down here and let's do it right. So stand and face each other. Take your hands and lift them up in the air like an arc, like an arch. Arc? Arch? That's it. This is what I see is the two of you like the doorpost of an entrance into the kingdom of God. And God's called you to do this for many people. And I see people coming in and going out through you. You're going to function in your lives so that you will bring people into the kingdom. And brother, there's a call on you about teaching and revealing the love of God in specific, minute detail. Not in broad strokes, but in minute detail. There's a call on you to do this. And sister, there's a call on you about discerning the heart and reaching root issues quickly. Y'all can put your hands down. I could stand here and prophesy for 30 minutes until you're worn out. There's a call on you to reveal hearts. And so there's already a gift of discernment in you to see underneath the mask that's like this, that's smiling, to discern what's going on in their heart. And sometimes all you know is you talk to someone and nothing feels right, nothing looks right, and your heart's breaking while they're smiling. That's the gift of discernment. God's given you this, and it's a painful gift at times. You have to learn how to handle it, and you can talk to Casey or Al, and Casey could tell you stuff. But God's given you this because it's your job to like pick people out and minister to them in reality and to get them in front of your husband so he can teach them the truth. And God's made him picky. He's made him that way. And it's a good thing. And at times you may want him, excuse me, not to be so picky. Not to be so picky, but it's okay. That's what a teacher is. And he's got that in him. And see, things grow and are built by the teaching of the Word of God. Not by other stuff, just by the teaching of the Word of God. And there's a call on you to be this avenue that allows people to come into the kingdom, helps them get in, and helps them get out when they're supposed to get out. So you're going to be a receiver, a healer, a teacher, and a sender out to other things. Are y'all in this church? Where do you go?
You just started coming.
Oh, look at this. You got prophesied over. You got brought up front. You drive 90 miles to get here? Praise God. Well, hold on a second. Drove 90 miles, you deserve a second prophecy. Oh, wait a minute. I flew 700 miles. You do? Okay. I flew 700 miles to get here. Okay, so obviously then, I didn't know this, but God's turning over your dirt, your field in a major way. And it's time for a major, not a little shallow planting of a new crop, but ripping the field up and turning it all the way over and exposing the bottom side to the sun, right? And one of the things you're going to find out is, God says, my daughter, I'm going to show you that I've made you the way I made you, and everything is for a purpose. And you will see your purpose, the purpose of how you're made, and you'll see the destiny I wrote in your book before you were even formed in your mother's womb. And God says, it is not in this day about changing you, but just revealing you. And that's what God's in the process of doing. Does that make sense? Okay, you guys got any children?
Two.
Two? How old are they?
21.
Okay. 21. 21 and 26. Well, over the 21-year-old, I see God, that you're 21, that one has been like locked up, tied up, like a prisoner in Vietnam, bound up where they tie your elbows behind your back. But God's in the process of cutting cords that and unbinding that child. And God says, hold your hand out like this, and he'll unbind your child. And let God turn the dirt over. So the word was, the message was for you. How cool. All right, so I'm Michael. Steve?
Stephen.
Which one do you like, Steve or Stephen? All right. And
Jennifer.
Steve and Jennifer. Okay. Well, why don't y'all turn around? Everybody say hey to Steve and Jennifer.
Hey.
Wait a minute. Just one thing more. I just feel like I'm supposed to bless you. It's the first thing God did. When he created Adam and Eve, he said Genesis 1:28, and he blessed them. And then when Jesus comes to minister, he begins his first sermon, the first word in his first sermon on Sermon on the Mount. First word is blessed. So God has got a blessing. He starts the Old Testament that way. He starts the New Testament that way. And we're supposed to release a blessing to them. To fill up whatever is lacking. All right? So let's start. I bless you when you get up in the morning, that you would have the thoughts of the Holy Spirit resting in your mind. I bless you with peace in your hearts when you rise in the morning. I bless you with rest and sleep when you go down to your bed at night. I bless you, your feet, that wherever you go, that the power of God and the love of God would go with you, that you would carry the love of God with you. I bless the work of your hands, that it would prosper, that it would grow. I bless you that it would not diminish, but that all of your lives, what you do with your hand and with your mind would grow. And that it would create blessing for many people. Bless your hearts that they would never grow cold, but that your hearts would always burn hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. That on the last day on this earth, that your hearts would be burning hot. That even on your bed, when you're gracefully dying, that your hearts would still be burning for Him. I bless you that your eyes would see the glory of God and the land of the living. I bless you that you would see miracles, healings, that you would see the dead raised, that you would see the lepers cleansed, that you would see the lame walk and dance. I bless your ears that you would hear the voice of God leading you and speaking to you day by day by day. I bless you that you would never go a day without hearing the voice of God speak to you. I bless you, brother, that the word of God would be strong in your mouth, sharp like a scalpel, dividing between light and darkness, and that you would always be, that scalpel, that sword would always be faithful to you and be in your mouth, and that you would never be found wanting, but that the word of God and the understanding and the wisdom of God would always be in your heart, in your mouth. Sister, I bless you that you would be like a wellspring, a well of mercy springing up, that it would be like a well this way, but it would also just come out of your inner woman to people around you, and that this mercy would wash away hatred and violence and anger and sickness and disease and wrath. Now bless you that your children would find success, would find joy, and they would be filled with the Spirit of the Most High God, and that they would be warriors of the kingdom in this world. And that they would not retreat, never, but that they would press forward always. And we speak over them the warrior's word of Ebenezer, which was when the battle got so fierce, the enemy came this far. And then God said, set up my Ebenezer up, a stone of remembrance, because the enemy came this far but no further. So it's a word of war that says he's not going to come any further. We're going to push him back. It's a warrior's word. And we bless your children that would be upon him. I bless your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that would be in every generation someone to minister the word of God, to teach or preach or prophesy the word of God in every generation until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And that you would influence and change the world around you. I bless you with change. I bless you, God says, with money and provision. Ridiculous money and ridiculous provision for not just the things you need, but for the things you plan. Brother, that you planning, stuff to plan, money to fund it, says the Lord. That's what I got. You want to add something? Okay. Good to meet you guys. Driving 90 miles. How are we doing? What's our stop time? We're good now to quit? Well, no? Just one lady right here with the little black scarf thing. Yeah. Would you stand up? Fresh opportunities in the next 10 days. Fresh opportunity. Recognize it's going to come from God. It's going to be a fresh opportunity. It'll be like it's right out of right field or left field. But it'll be God. Pay attention. Be self-aware. Or it'll pass you right on by, but it's going to be God. Reach out and take it. And I hear the words, I can do that. I can. I can do that. All right. Thank you.
So the way prophecy works, if you're not familiar, if those words rang to you, you can claim them too. If that blessing rang to you, you can claim it too. Don't go away, Michael.
So I came in just as worship was starting, and I was like, oh, I'm good to see Michael. And you look different. I'm like, is he taller? Is he thinner? You look younger and stronger. I was asking the Lord why, and he said, I'm removing old burdens off of you that you've carried for a season. They're no longer yours to carry. And I'm re-anointing you and putting on a new mantle for this next season. I'm giving you a new rod of authority to go here and there, speak life to places, and speak death to places, to bring order and correction. And the Lord says, clean my church.
So the next 7 years, you and Gloria are going to be touching the next generation of leaders in ways that you have not touched leadership before. You've played with leadership, and the Lord has put his leadership deep within your fibers. But there is a generation of leaders that are ignorant to the ways of the Lord. They know the ways of the world, and they're trying to bring the world into the body. But he's going to use the two of you over the next 7 years to set a course in the hearts of the next generation of leaders that will liberate them to equip the generation after them. Don't think that it's getting time to slow down. The pace will accelerate. The appointments will be there. But the next 7 years are going to be a harvest that you and Gloria have been talking about. Even when your children were growing up, these next 7 years are going to be the time that what you sowed into them is now going to become a harvest field for the two of you. And that harvest field is going to be seen through the leaders that you speak into.
What do I do when I'm 80?
When you're 80?
Next 7 years takes me to 80. What do I do when I'm 80?
You begin encouraging them.
That's like another generation to work on.
Mm-hmm. It's your second 40.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Do you appreciate the ministry? There's refreshments next door. Stay, fellowship. You have a mercy account. Don't let it gather dust. Spend your mercy. Sow into people's lives. Speak mercy. Even if you don't see them and you know you need to release mercy, speak mercy. So that when you walk into situations, you've already paved the way with mercy. And you won't fall to judgment. Amen? Lord, I send your sons and daughters into the harvest field that you've ordained for them this week. Give them peculiar divine appointments so that they know it is you. And Lord, in that moment, show them the word they are to release so that it will unlock even the hardest of hearts to bow their knee and confess that you are Lord of all. Father, I send them to be your ambassadors and bring a harvest and a testimony back to you in Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week. If you need healing, come up front. Someone will be up here from the healing team.